before South Africa, before Egypt or Algeria. So this is a lack, and they are looking forward to a more integrated economic zone. And
Aminata Touré, we're going to have to leave it there, but we'll continue this discussion. Senegal's former prime minister and Ibrahima Kane, Senegalese political analyst, speaking from Dakar. That does it for our show. Saturday night, I'll be speaking in Berkeley at KPFA's 75th anniversary celebration. Check our website at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh.
You're listening to X-Ray FM, KXRY Portland at 91.1 FM, K296 FT West Haven, serving Portland at 107.1 FM, and K219 KU Nehalem, serving Nehalem, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming live and archived at xray.fm, radio is yours.
Maybe you're tired of adult contemporary radio being the same old thing over and over again. If so, tune in to Beautiful Music Tuesdays, 4 to 6 p.m., where we retool, reimagine, and expand the definition of what adult contemporary radio can be. Only here on X-Ray FM. Radio's yours.
This is Ross Beach, host of Alive with Pleasure, with this week's edition of the X-Ray FM concert calendar for the week beginning on this Friday, April the 5th. On Friday night, Addy Oasis will be at the Get Down, Slater Kinney play the Crystal Ballroom, Victoria Canal and Lucy Clearwater will be at the Mission Theater, Ren the Band and the Parnells will be at Trout Lake Hall, Donna Jones plays the Alberta Street Pub, Mom Jeans plays the Roseland, Rachel Brashear and Wisteria Lodge will be at Alberta Abbey, Era Bleak plays Turn, 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 Shutter Black Shelton and the American Dream, Buddy Wincoop, and the Upkeeps will all be at the Twilight Cafe, and Brutus plays Mississippi Studios. On Saturday night the 6th, Jesse Joe Stark and the Veronicas play together at the Aladdin Theater, Fatoumata Diawara plays Revolution Hall, Rakoma will be at Swan Dive, Garza from Thievery Corporation will be at the Get Down, Erica DeCassier plays Polaris Hall, and Low Cut Connie will be at the Wonder Ballroom. On Sunday night the 7th, Devours play the No Fun Bar, and Lesser Demons will be at the Lollipop Shop. Then on Monday night, Bar Italia comes to Mississippi Studios. On Tuesday the 9th, the last dinner party will be at Crystal Ballroom, and Cyril Amy will be at the Old Church. On Wednesday night the 10th, THMPR plays the Show Bar. Then on Thursday night the 11th, Alice Phoebe Liu will be at the Mission Theater, and Alicia Jo Rabins and the Camas High School Choir will be at Revolution Hall. If you're not familiar with all of the artists I just mentioned, I'll be spinning many of them this Friday afternoon from 2 to 4 on Live with Pleasure. And I'll be speaking with Alicia Jo Rabins about that show at Revolution Hall on Thursday. If you know about a concert that you think should be included in this list, send the details to me at alivewithpleasureradio@gmail.com. You can head over to our website, xray.fm, and buy tickets to the X-Ray 10th Birthday Bash featuring the Minus 5 and Abronia happening Friday, April 19th at Polaris Hall. This has been Ross Beach with this week's X-Ray FM concert calendar for Portland, Oregon.
Welcome in to a special edition here of the Sportslandia show here on KXRW.FM and KXRW 99.9 FM in Vancouver, Washington. Your only local sports radio show here highlighting collegiate, semi-pro, professional high school sports here in Southwest Washington. Darren and Austin back with you on this episode.
Yo.
Good hello.
What's up?
And for our April edition, bringing back our old friends, dare I say, maybe the first guest we ever had on the show about 2 years ago, and we started this thing.
Yeah.
The Vancouver Volcanoes, the one piece of decor we have in the studio, which I think is pretty outdated. I think we need a updated logo.
Yeah, we forgot to mention that we needed some updated jerseys to hang in the studio.
Okay. So, right. Let our guest introduce himself here.
Yes, I'm Curtis Hill. I am associate head coach and team market owner of the team.
And I'm excited to have Curtis in with us this month, trying to do two episodes out of this, just highlighting different what's going on, who the Vancouver Volcanoes are, what they mean for the community, how long they've been around, and talk about what fans can expect here. The season just getting underway. So first, I suppose we should just ask, who are the Vancouver Volcanoes?
Man, so Vancouver Volcanoes you know, sports team that they've been around. You know, we've been around since 2005 when we were in the International Basketball League, the IBL. And just a long story short, so we played in that league from 2005 to 2014, and I actually used to play for the Volcanoes. I played for the Volcanoes in the 2006 season, and like I said, the league itself, the IBL, went away, so it kind of disbanded, and so that made the team go away during that time.
And so now we're back, part of, reading the website here, the Basketball League is all it's called, correct?
Yes.
Just the Basketball League.
Yes.
With six regions across the country. So looks like Northeast, basically two on the East Coast, two on the West Coast, a Midwest, and a Central.
Yes.
So what kind of level of basketball is the Basketball League? I know there's a handful of former college graduates, right? I mean, so if we were going to place them, like Division I is the highest level of college basketball. Are they above that, or kind of where do they land in terms of their skill set and their development in terms of their careers and the skill level of the league as a whole?
Okay, so I don't know if you guys are familiar with the European model. So it's like Pro B Europe. So you have the NBA, which is the highest. You have the NBA G League, which is funded by the NBA. And then you have the TBL. And so this is like the only other league besides those two leagues that guys get paid to actually play for most of the teams. And so if I'm saying it's like Pro B, it's like Pro B basketball basically. So it's like the what's the minor leagues, like the Hillsboro Hops and Roosevelt Raptors. It's kind of on that level.
So if they were to line up against Portland State starting five, who do you think would win?
Oh, we would win for sure.
Okay, so that's kind of the level we're looking at here.
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yes.
Grown men basketball.
Yeah, grown men basketball.
So, and I know every coach, every owner wants to talk about the team, but are there maybe any players we want to call out, maybe anybody with some local connections?
So we have a couple of guys here from Portland. Thomas Miles is one of them. He's the nephew of Aaron Miles that used to play for Kansas.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, another Portland native. So, we have him. He's having a great season with us, averaging 18 points off the bench. Hopefully he can get some sixth man of the year recognition. And another local guy we have is Marcus Golder. He just made the league's All-Star game this past weekend. And he's been having a phenomenal season. And we just had a big signing today. We signed Vincent Bowman. He's another guy. He's from McMinnville, but he's familiar like with the Portland area and stuff like that. He played at Clackamas
Community College.
Yep, and he's played like a few places different countries and stuff like that. So we just announced the signing of him today. So. So we got pretty good players.
So how do you? And I guess this is maybe. Just out of curiosity, like, do you guys have like a team scout, or where do you kind of find your players? Like, how do they come about to join the Vancouver Volcanoes? What's that process look like?
Man, so we get hit, we get messages all the time about guys wanting to play for us. Where we get our guys from, man. So, like I said, I'm a former player myself, and this team is basically former player-driven that played for the Volcanoes. So, we got a lot of history there. So, you have myself who's played, like, all over the place. We have one of our coaches, Porter Troop. He's played 17 years overseas, and then our other coach, Calvin Hampton, he's played 10 years overseas. So, a lot of our peers now, like from when we were playing, they were coaches and stuff like that, coaching now. Mm-hmm. So, that's how we get our players through all the networks and stuff that we've had during our careers, basically. So that's how we know about upcoming guys and things like that.
Now, do you host like a tryout then, or do you just invite them in for a workout? Kind of what's the next step after you kind of have the name recognition portion of it?
So we do have our tryout. So we typically have our first tryout in October, you know, and we normally hold like a tryout like in October, then we'll try to have one like in December, and then we'll have one before the draft starts in February. So we'll probably have like our last tryout in January, something like that. And, you know, we found some gems through the tryouts. You know, our best player from the last two seasons that played with us, Jalen Richardson, he's a prime example of someone that just came out of the tryouts and then blossomed, and now he's overseas playing in Indonesia right now, and he's doing really well over there. So
I think 2 years ago we tried to get you signed up for tryouts. I don't know what ever happened.
I know they've
that.
Tried to get me signed up for soccer over here, the Richfield rap baseball.
Mr. semi-pro baseball player, plus I don't know if your arm talent comes into play for basketball.
Yeah, so maybe I do have a shot now then, because I do have a bad shoulder, so I can't throw, but
man, hey, Gus from the Richfield Raptors, if you hear this, hey, you have an interested player right here. Give him a shot.
6 foot tall, I'm not sure you're going to work out. And
I can run a little bit. Hey,
I'm not questioning the speed.
I'm a slasher, all right? I come from a family of hoopers. I was the one baseball player. My pops played semi-pro. I don't know, forever ago. I couldn't even tell you for who or for when. But he played semi-pro, and my brother played in college up in Seattle, up for a community college up there. So, you know, everybody in my family was a hooper, and then I come out and just love throwing a baseball forever. So I was the weird one out of the group for sure.
The weird one out of every group.
That was rude.
So looking at the season that's been here, and let's brag a little bit here on our Vancouver Volcanoes leading the way in the Pacific Southwest. Again, there's six divisions within the basketball league, and Pacific Northwest first place out of six teams right now as we're sitting here, 6-1. Just talk a little bit about the season that's been so far here for the first month.
Oh man, like I said, it's been phenomenal, man. Got some great players here. You know, so our point guard won the championship with the Pottawatomie Fire last season on Rashawn Coleman, and he was the backup point guard there. So, like, you know, it all starts with him being the point guard. So he gets the, you know, he's showing, like, that championship pedigree and brought it over here. And then we got guys like Elijah Ford, who played with Atlantic City last year. They went 21-3, and he had a lot of success with that. And then we also have the number one pick from last year's TBL draft, Caleb Coleman. He's been phenomenal. And like I said, you know, Marcus Golder and Thomas Miles. It's been a bunch. Tyshawn Pickett, the bully, he's been dominating down low. And, man, I mean, we have a special group of guys here that want to be here and embrace being in the community and, you know, and just playing well and bringing that winning attitude here that we've been lacking the last 2 years.
So let's just say you guys continue on this winning trajectory and you finish first place. That's what we're assuming is going to happen. We're hoping that happens. So is there a playoff? Like, what does that process look like after the regular season's over?
Yeah, so there is a playoff. So top three teams in the division will make the playoffs. So like bottom two will have to play in a play-in game, and whoever wins that game will have to, like, say if we had the number one seed, they will have to play us in the best of three series. If we win that game, California is doing the same thing. So if we win that series, we will play the winner of California in a three-game series, and then when you get out of California, we have to play the winner of the Central, and that is a tough conference there. That, you know, the defending champion Pottawatomie Fire comes out of that one. So let's say if we play Pottawatomie and we beat them, and then in the best of three series, and then we'll get a chance to play the team from the East Coast or whatever for the championship. If that makes sense.
Not to get too far on a side tangent, just loving some of the team names in this league. You know, Vancouver Volcanoes, we have a pretty sweet one here. And I know they're rivals, but Great Falls Electric. I like that one.
Yes.
Got the Frederick Flying Cows, Jamestown Jackals, Albany. I don't know if it's supposed to be patrons or patroons.
Patroons.
Patroons. Okay. What's up? Anybody know what a patroon is?
I have no idea there, but they're one of the richest teams in all of minor league time. I mean, not money-wise, but I'm just talking about like, as far as like history. You know, they was in the old CBA. Phil Jackson coached for them, and I think he played for them as well. So, yeah, so that team has rich history.
Very cool. Just to kind of further show the kind of teams we have here in this league, you know, like you mentioned, Pottawatomie Fires, Enid Outlaws, Wichita Sky Kings.
Yeah, before we were debating what a Sevener is. We still haven't quite figured out what the Seveners are. I don't know if you have any insight on what that is, but
honestly, I don't even know. I'm not going to even. I don't want to offend their owner or something like that.
The Texas Seveners. If anybody has any ideas on that one, but, yeah. I mean Pontiac Pharaohs. That's a tough one if we have to go outside the Volcanoes or the West Virginia Grind.
Yeah,
but. So looking at the rest of the division here, and again, all these very accessible games for local fans here to get to, and we'll get to kind of the home slate here in a minute, but the rest of the division, the Salem Capitals, Seattle Superhawks, Great Falls Electric, Wenatchee Bighorns, and the Emerald City Jaguars. And Austin, did you figure out where Emerald City is?
It's Eugene, right?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, it is.
Let's go.
It's a hotly contested debate before it started.
Well, because Seattle's nickname is the Emerald City, so I wasn't sure. And again, as he shakes his head, yes, I'm not crazy when I say that. So it was a little confusing at first, but you know what? We came down. We got it figured out. So I guess, you know, I just am curious about the team as a whole. If you guys have, like what would you say, like, is the team, like, personality or, like, what's something that you guys think – is something that we do this better than everybody else when it comes to the teams that you play against? Or like what do you think is the vibe or kind of what you guys want to hang your hat on as a team, as a unit?
Physicality, man. You know, hey, when we coming out of the huddle, we say bullies on three, 1, 2, 3 bullies, and we try to live by it. You know, bring the physicality to the teams, you know, play inside out. You know, I mean, they couldn't stop on Tyshawn Pickett before he got injured the last game versus Wenatchee. And, you know, now we pick up Vincent Bowman, who dominated this league a couple of years ago. So, I mean, yeah, we're going to try to continue to do some of the same things that's led us up to the 6-1 record.
Now, does that start? Do you guys have some pretty good big men as well? Obviously, you talk about your point guard, but if you're going to play bully ball, I would imagine that you got to have some height on your team that is pretty effective as well, yeah?
Yes, like I was saying, Tyshawn Pickett is our big guy, and, you know, he went down with an injury this last game versus Wenatchee. So we had him, and I mean, yeah, that guy, that I mean, sure, he grew up playing in the streets of New York, you know, dominating Dykeman Park over there and all the leagues over there, you know, real big body, you know, a walking 20-10. And like I said, unfortunately, he got hurt, you know, but we get another guy that's just like him, that's 6'10". I don't know if you guys watch Game of Thrones at all. He's built like the mountain, the guy named Vincent Bowman. And, yeah, he's like 6'10", and he literally looks like the mountain. Like, he's super big, yeah.
Got our own DJ Burns, but more jacked. That's a March Madness reference, Austin.
Yeah, I know who DJ Burns is. He's 6'9".
Right. Okay.
Yeah. He played for Tennessee and NC State.
Thank you.
You're welcome. See, look, I do my research. Okay. The 5 minutes before we start talking.
So we're going to take our first quick break in the episode and then look ahead to the rest of the season and how the fans can get involved, what kind of the connection between the Volcanoes and the community. So we'll take our first commercial break of the episode and come right back here on Sportslandia here on KXRW.FM and KXRW 99.9 FM.
A big thank you to our founding partners at Morrell Inc. Print and Marketing for their ongoing support of community radio. Morrell Inc. is a woman-owned, union-staffed, state-of-the-art print shop that since 1993 has offered high-quality, creative, and innovative printing and marketing solutions. Morrell Inc.'s experienced staff creates partnerships with their clients and uses the latest technologies to meet their needs. More information about which of Morrell Inc.'s products, printing, and marketing strategies will best serve your next project and budget can be found at morrellinc.com. That's MORELINK.com.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of The Columbian, proud to be Southwest Washington's leading news source. The Columbian is family-owned and operated by the Campbell family, guiding the award-winning news coverage and operations since 1920. Subscription options and the most thorough daily coverage of the local region, local sports, and national news, both in print and online, available at Columbian.com. Consider subscribing today. That's Columbian.com.
Welcome back in here to the April edition of Sportslandia here on KXRW.FM and KXRW 99.9 FM. And really trying to get into the schedule now. We're a 20-game regular season schedule. As we're recording this, eight games in. My apologies.
Math isn't taught in Iowa.
I got too many screens up. I'm going between players and stats and schedule.
It's okay. Math isn't taught in Iowa, so that still holds true.
For fans right here in Bulk and Vancouver, where can they catch your guys' home games?
For the rest of the season, we'll be playing our games out of Hudson Bay High School. So it's like right across the street from Clark College where we normally play. But, we'll be at Hudson Bay. And
now, do you guys – Is it free to come watch? Is it $10? What do you guys do to try to market your team to get some more fans out there? Do you guys have promotions that you guys run? Kind of how does that work out?
Yeah, so general admission is for an adult, $10. $10 to get in. We charge $5 for children and seniors. Like, what we do as far as, like, promotions, most of our games are fundraising games with nonprofits. So 50% of our gate will go to the nonprofit for whoever that game is for. So, for example, we had one with Chelsea's Closet. And Chelsea's Closet is, you know, they do, like, costumes for, like, the children's cancer hospital, and they make like costumes and stuff like that for the children there. So, you know, that's just one of our nonprofits we do it for. And yeah, so like I said, you know, they get 50% of the gate, you know, anytime we have like a special game for that specific nonprofit.
No, do you do this for every? That's awesome, by the way. And that the community needs more of that. That's really, really cool. Do you do that for every home game then, or is it?
Yeah, so for any of our home games, yeah. So most of them are tied to a fundraising game for a nonprofit.
So how do you guys choose these nonprofits? Do you use a different one for every game, or what does that process look like for you guys?
We talked to them, we talked to a bunch of nonprofits during the year, and basically we try to partner with them and try to do things with them. And, you know, our marketing, our president of marketing, Brad Lethenberg, who's a former player with the Volcanoes, man, he does a great job, like, putting all this stuff together, because, you know, most of it comes through him, and, you know, and we work around that, so...
Yeah, that's really cool.
And looking ahead to some of the fundraisers we have coming up here, and again, all this available at VancouverVolcanoes.com. The first one we have coming up here, April 6th, Saturday night at 7 o'clock, supporting Friends of the Children. April 12th, the Foundation for Vancouver Public Schools, Boys and Girls Club of Southwest Washington on April 14th, Northwest Association for Blind Athletes on April 27th. Hoops for Hope on May 17th, and the last one of the regular season's the Salvation Army on May 25th. That's another thing. All the games for the Volcanoes, a Saturday night, a Friday night, or a Sunday afternoon matinee. So very accessible for families and people. You don't really have to interrupt your work week.
Yeah, and again, I just think it's really cool. We need more, and we talked about it with the soccer team, but it's good to have community involvement with teams like this, because – you know, it sounds like you do have a handful of players that are not from here.
Yes.
And you do have a handful of players that are also from here. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it can be a little bit of a challenge as a community to probably maybe connect to a kid from New York or a kid from Florida or wherever. But I think when you start to involve the community and these nonprofits, it's a lot easier for us to go to feel the connection towards the team.
Yeah.
Because we don't always have that same connection with
the kid that grew up in New York necessarily.
Yeah. I mean, I could speak a little bit on that too. And I mean, it's just funny. And me and Brad, we talk about this a lot, even with Coach Porter and Coach Cal. I mean, neither one of us is from here. You know, I'm from New Jersey. I'm from Newark, New Jersey.
Yeah, I can hear the accent a little bit. Yeah, for sure.
I'm from New Jersey. And,
do they teach math out there?
Hey, now.
Oh, I love it.
We have Caitlin Clark. What else do we need?
Hey, yeah. Oh, man. So,
you need to teach a football team how to score points.
We just count by threes in Iowa.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. The football team does, too.
Oh, man. So, you know, we have Brad. He's from San Diego. And Porter Troop, he's from Harlem, New York. And Calvin Hampton, the other coach, he's from Washington, D.C. So, I mean, we all kind of migrated out here and, you know, and kind of brought this thing back to life. So, it's a bunch of, you know, out of town guy. I mean, we have history with the team, obviously, but I mean, right. We kind of brought this thing back and like been, you know, like I said, just been working on trying to make this thing more successful than like it was in the past when Brian Hunter and Michael Dulio ran it. And yeah.
Well, and you mentioned the getting to know the team and the players. I want to do a quick shout out for the youth clinics that you guys do. If you can tell our listeners a little bit about how those work, who they're open to and what kids will learn at these.
So with our youth clinics, they typically run from the ages 6 through 12 for the most part. And we teach basic basketball. And that's a very important piece to it, too, because, like, a lot of these, you know, a lot of programs out there, and I don't want to badmouth any programs or nothing like that because, you know, it's dealing with youth, so it's great within itself. But, you know, a lot of programs, they just throw the kids out there and just have them play, you know, just play. But how are you going to get somebody to play if they don't know, like, the basic principles of the game, like ball handling, simple passing, and stuff like that? So, you know, you get them out there, these kids, you get them out there to these games, and they don't do as well, they get discouraged from playing. So that's why we harp and really preach that. Like, we teach the basic fundamentals of, like, the game at these youth clinics.
Yeah. And that's so essential. And I feel like we have a whole generation of kids now who's just grown up on Steph Curry three balls. Yes. And everybody just wants to run and chuck threes. And
my brothers are the same way. It is ridiculous.
That's all the basketball they know. It's just, you know, Splash Brothers type basketball. So I
beat him with bully ball. Let's go.
I feel like everybody wants to just step on the court and start chucking. So it's good to get those fundamentals built in, especially at that age. You know, it's just run out there and burn off some energy and play for fun and really just learn the basics of the game.
Yeah. Now, are those camps open to all skill levels, or do you have a general pool, or kind of what is the general population typically like?
I mean, yeah, for the most part, like I said, just kids, just beginner stages. You know, we typically try to go away from the elite stuff just because, you know, we really want to teach basic fundamentals. Mm-hmm. You know, when an elite kid tries to come through or whatever, we try to push them to one of those elite programs that's running around here in town. You know, we have like a bunch of them. So, yeah, you know, it's basically for the kids, just basically trying to teach the kids basic fundamentals. We try to, like I said, we stick away from the elite stuff.
If they look like they have some baseball skills, Austin would like to know about it. Mr. Youth Baseball Academy.
Hey.
But all this available on VancouverVolcanoes.com. The second session starting up here April 13th to June 8th for both 6 to 9 years old and 11 to 12 year olds, all Saturdays at the Marshall Center in Vancouver.
Yes.
All right. Austin, anything else we need to talk to before do some just generic basketball chit-chat?
No, like I said, I think it's just exciting. Again, I love having a team that's a part of the community and wants to give back. I think that's a growing desire for these teams in the Northwest, especially in the Vancouver area. That's a growing community as it is. And so the community as a whole is grateful for what you guys are offering and what you guys are doing. And we just want to make sure that you guys understand that. And we will
continue to watch you guys grow and just encourage you guys to keep going down the path that you're going on, because it's exciting to not only see the team be successful, but to, for the team to be giving back to the community as well. So,
yes, I mean, and you know, like I said, man, that's what we try to, you know, like train our players.